One of the main themes of the Bible is the theme of repentance. It is a major theme of Jesus' preaching. It was a major theme of John the Baptist's preaching. And it was a major theme of the apostles' preaching. Along with believe, repent is the central call of the gospel. Now, both in the Hebrew Old Testament and in the Greek New Testament, there are two main words for repent. And in both, one of the words basically means to turn around. And the other one means basically to change your mind. And the two go together. And we can see both those concepts of repentance in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. You know the story very well. In that story, the younger son walks away. He walks away from his father and his father's home. He walks away from his father's life. He walks away from his father's work. He walks away from his father's blessing. He is convinced that happiness is out there somewhere, and he's going to find it on his own terms. But as the story goes, he ends up squandering everything that his father has given him, and he ends up wasting his own life. And it gets to the point where he's actually tending pigs and living in a way worse than the pigs. And then suddenly, he comes to his senses. It says in the story that he came to himself as he was sitting there thinking that I'm hungrier than these pigs are. I wish that I could eat what they were eating. Suddenly, he has a change of mind. Suddenly, he sees everything differently. He sees himself differently. He sees his life differently. He sees this happiness that he's gone out to find all differently. And he sees that basically he's a slave, and he's become like an animal. And because he's had this change of mind, he has a change of direction. He says to himself, I will arise and will go to my father. And I will say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So this change of direction he has is a change of going away from his father to going to his father. Now you notice that those are the only two real directions in life, away from God or to God. It doesn't really matter where this boy goes, to this city or to the other city or a third city or some other country. He's moving away from his father. That's the point. And there's only one real change of direction. Going to another town is not a change of direction. Going back to his father is the only change of direction. Now, this work, this change of mind that this boy has, and this change of direction is the result of the work of God by the Spirit in his heart. Paul describes this work in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, when you're dealing and talking to unbelievers, you have to deal with them in a humble and a general way, understanding and hoping that perhaps God will grant them repentance. Repentance is something that God grants us. We're not capable of having this change of mind or this change of direction on our own. God has to grant it. And then Paul explains to us what is involved when God grants someone repentance. Number one, they come to know the truth. They come to know the truth. Well, what is involved in that? Paul explains. They come to their senses. That's what happens with a prodigal son. He suddenly sees, he's been living like a pig the whole time. He's been a pig the whole time. He's in slavery the whole time, that he thinks he's pursuing happiness. But suddenly, he can see himself and his circumstances and his life the way that they truly are. So he comes to their senses. And then Paul says, escape the snare of the devil. So repentance involves somebody escaping the snare of the devil, turning around their direction so that they're no longer going away from God the Father and they're coming toward them, and then coming to their senses to understand their true situation. Now, there's a character in this story of the prodigal son that we often miss, and that is the older brother. What about him? Well, you see, he needed to repent also. But his need for repentance was not so obvious, but it was just as real as that of the younger brother. The older brother had not marched off physically, but he had definitely wandered off in his heart. Now, physically, he's still in his father's house. Physically, he's still busy working. But in his heart, something has really shifted so that his relationship with his father has changed. This boy no longer sees himself as a son. He no longer relates to his father as a father. He sees himself now as an employee, and he sees his father as an employer. And he sees what his father has to give him as a wage and something he's going to earn. So he's burdened down with the duties of life, hoping to be a good employee and to receive a good wage from his employer. Now, if that's the way you see God and that's the way you see life, your life, even the Christian life, is going to become a great wearisome burden. And it's going to lose all joy, all sense of what reality is. In truth, his father was not an employer. His father was a father. In truth, what this son was to gain was not a wage. It was an inheritance. You can't earn an inheritance. An inheritance is given to you. It's something that your father has and is given to you. You can't earn it. You can walk away from it, but you cannot earn it. Okay? The only wage that you can earn in the entire Bible is the wage of sin. You want a wage? You want to earn something? You can earn something from sin. Sin will pay you a wage. It will pay you what you've earned. And what you've earned is death. But if you want to get anything from God, you have to receive it as an inheritance. You have to receive it as a gift, which means you have to be a child. You have to relate to him as to a father, not as to an employer. Now, this mindset that had overtaken the older son here is always a major challenge for God's children. It's always a major challenge for believers in every single generation. It is so easy for us as we go through the Christian life for everything to become duty. And slowly and subtly, we slide into a kind of an arm's length employment relationship with God our Father. We no longer really relate to him as a father and come to him as his children. We no longer see life as a matter of walking with him and sharing his life and his work and his glory. We just see it as doing our duty as employees. And here's the real sinister part. We actually prefer that in our sinfulness. We would prefer, in our sin, we would prefer to have a nice arm's length relationship with God as long as he is paying us a good wage as employees. That suits us in our sin because we really don't want to be too close to God. But repentance means coming home to God as our Father. And repentance is a continuing need for every one of us as God's children. Now, this is why if you read Jesus' letters to the different churches in Asia Minor in chapters 2, 3, and 4 of Revelations, you will see that again and again and again he calls these Christians in the first century to repent. Sometimes he calls them to repent of something big. They're really walking away. He tells one church, he says, "You think you're alive, but you're dead. You think you're rich, but you're poor." Other churches, he tells them to repent of something that's smaller. One church he commends for all the work that they're doing. But he says, "You've lost your first love." This is kind of the story of the older brother. You've lost your first love. You've lost sight of what this is all really about. And so you need to repent and recover your first love. And so it is for us as individual Christians as we go through the Christian life. We may not have turned our backs on God. We may not be walking off directly from him. But we very easily as Christians can find ourselves at a slight angle to God. We're no longer facing him face to face. We're now oblique to him. We're at an angle. We're just beginning to slide off at an angle. As Christians, as children of God, we always want to be centered straight up on God. We want to be face to face with God. We want to live life coram Deo, before the face of God all the time. We want to be like a plant that always turns to face the sun. If you see time-lapse photography of a plant during the day, it will follow the sun all across the sky. And that's the way we want to be. So for sinners like us, that means always turning to God, turn toward God. always checking and changing our hearts and our mindsets. How are we viewing things? What's our attitude? How are we seeing things? And turning toward God multiple times a day. And the main thing to remember is exactly what the prodigal son and his older brother had to learn. We are to remember that we as Christians often tend to be more like the older brother than we are like the younger brother. Remember that Jesus is our example. He's not just our Savior, he's also our example of what it means to be a child of God. He was the perfect son. Now, Jesus in his life had lots of challenges, lots of trials, lots of hardships, and lots of temptations. But in and through all of that was his Father's plan for him. Everything was laid out like a story. And it was all intended for Jesus to walk with his Father, to overcome, and to receive his Father's blessing and glory. And in and through it all, Jesus' calling was very simple. Trust his Father. Walk with his Father. Honor his Father. And grow in wisdom and grace. Grow in wisdom and favor. And through all of this, be part of his Father's life. Be part of his Father's work. Be part of his Father's glory. Now this, listen, this is what life is. That's all it is. It doesn't matter what's going on with you. That's all life is. And don't you ever forget it. And when you find yourself slipping away from this, and you find yourself losing the proper mindset and heart set toward God in life, and you find yourself that you're cocked at a little bit of an angle from God, turn back. That's what repentance is. Turn back. The Bible gives us a couple of ways of checking our orientation and our cast of heart. We find one of them in Psalm 139 where David prays, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." See, David is always trying to check. He's saying, "God, search me and lead me. Check me. Which way am I facing? Am I living life before you? What's my cast of heart?" The other one we find in Proverbs 3, where the two major commands are trust in the Lord and fear the Lord, respect the Lord, reverence the Lord. And the two things he says to check yourself on, because these are telltale signs that will be leading you off at an angle from God, he gives two. Number one, don't lean on your own understanding. Number two, don't be wise in your own eyes. That's a good question to ask yourself as you go through each day and you face different situations and you're wrestling with decisions or you're dealing with different attitudes. Am I being wise in my own eyes? Am I smarter than God here? Do I think I know more than God here? Do I think I know more about happiness than God does? Do I think I know me more than God knows me? And am I leaning on my own understanding, the way I size this up, as opposed to the way God presents it? You want God to direct your paths at all times. And to do that, you have to acknowledge him at all times. And so you have these two things whereby we might check ourselves. Are we trusting in God or leaning on our own understanding? Are we fearing the Lord or are we being wise in our own eyes? And so we see that repentance, this constantly turning toward God wherever you are, checking your mindset and your heart set so that it's turned back toward God, is a constant duty of Christians, and it is simply the duty of life. And therefore, it is a privilege. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.